Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
Now, today, as we look at this text, I'm going to read through it. I'm going to read through this text of Scripture. We're going to look at what it says, and then we're really going to apply it to our life with two major ideas as we look at what this story has to say to our life. So let's read it together. It says this in verse 17. It says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. He said to him, teacher, I have kept all these from my youth. Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But he was dismayed by this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words. Again, Jesus said to them, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. They are even more astonished, saying to one another, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God. Peter began to tell him, look, we have left everything and followed you. Truly I tell you, Jesus said, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now at this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, and fields with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. But many who are first will be last, and the last who are first. Today in our text, we see a young man come to Jesus and ask him a very important question. The question is, what does it take to get eternal life? That's the most important question any of us can answer. It's like, what is it take for me to live forever, right? If you're like me, as I'm getting older, I find my mortality quickly approaching. We did some work on our basement. My wife and I, we put together a floor. We kind of put a new floor in last night in our basement. And let me just tell you, this morning, I am sore, right? And it's a good reminder that I'm not 20 anymore. If I was 20, I'd be like, dude, that was nothing. I could barely get out of bed this morning, right? And this is the reality, is that every single one of us, at some point, we will grow older, and we will, at some point, pass on from this life to the next. And the most important question that we have to answer is, like, what happens after that, right? And this man believes in eternal life, so he's got the right information, and he has a question, like, how do I get there? So he comes to Jesus, the right person, and he asks him, what does it take to have eternal life? Now, this man may be thinking that he's going to get a very easy answer, or he's going to be told, like, hey, congratulations, you aced the test already, because he has a lot going for him. Traditionally, people call this man the rich young ruler, because he is rich, and he's young, and he's a ruler, okay? That's what we know about him. We don't know his name. We don't know where he's from. We don't know what he really looks like, although if he's rich and young, he's probably pretty hot, right? But he's a rich, young ruler. That's what we know, okay? And these are the defining things about his identity, that he is rich, he's young, and he rules. And here he comes to Jesus, and let me just be honest, like, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, like, yes, this is awesome. Like, he's going to join the team. He's going to be a disciple. This is the kind of, like, disciple we've been waiting for a while. Like, we've been waiting for somebody who's got power and money to fund this operation Jesus is doing, right? This is great. Please, Jesus, don't send him away. Like, he's so much better. He's such an upgrade over Judas. Like, could we just trade them, right? And yet, here, Jesus actually sends him away. He tells him what it's going to take, and it's too hard for this young man. Because this man comes to Jesus and says, hey, what's it going to take? And Jesus looks at him and says, here's what it's going to take. I need you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the young man leaves because he has great wealth, and he is grieving over it. And in the middle of this, his disciples are looking at Jesus like, what have you done? Because they're like, if this guy can't get in, what's he going to do for us? We're a bunch of poor fishermen from Galilee. Like, how can we enter into the kingdom of heaven if this guy doesn't get in? And Jesus says this to him. He says, hey, it's so hard. It's incredibly hard for those who have wealth, the rich, to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I've heard preachers try to interpret that phrase, that a camel going through the eye of a needle, like that's how hard it is to enter into heaven. So some people kind of say, hey, no, there was a gate. I don't know if you've been in church for a while, you've heard this one. Like, there was a gate in Jerusalem that it was really hard to put camels through. They had to get on their knees to get through. But that's not what Jesus is saying here, okay? And he's also not saying this is like a, it's kind of like trying to sew. So it's like, it's really hard to, like, I don't know very many people still sew today. But like, if you did sew, and you do sew, it's really hard to thread a needle, right? You have to lick it, get that thread, and get it right through. And that's very hard, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying it's like something you can work through and try to get your camel through a gate or try to thread a needle. He's saying it's really hard. It's really hard to enter into heaven if you've got great wealth, if you have wealth at all, which is really bad news for all of us in this room, because every single one of us in this room is rich. I don't know if you realize this, but every single person in this room, this kind of level, like some of you are richer than others, granted, okay? But every single person in this room is rich. If you look at, you know, Nashville's population, how much our city has, and what our level of wealth is for just a basic American, we're in the top 1% of people in the world, okay? So just kind of give us this idea that all of us, this is a thing that all of us have to deal with. And I know sometimes like we can feel like I'm not that rich because I have a friend or met somebody who is really rich, and I'm obviously not one of those people that has to struggle with this text. I mean, I felt this yesterday. I met a new friend yesterday, and I was talking to him, and a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, who also has his kids in school with ours, was like, hey, man, I like your car. Nice car. I'm glad I saw it. It's like really cool you got it. And I asked, like, well, what kind of car did you get? And he said, I got this Wraith. And I was like, oh, that's a Wraith. I've never even heard of that. So I went home, I Googled it, and it's a Rolls-Royce Wraith. It was like $450,000, okay? And I was like, wow, that's an incredible amount of money to spend on a car. And I felt really poor in that moment, right? Because I was like, this is a second Wraith. He had two, right? So I was like, whoa, that's obviously this passage is talking about him and not me, right? But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, listen, this is the reality, is that every single one of us has things that keep us from really feeling like we can enter in. And here you're going to find Jesus speaking to every single person in this room's heart about what it means to inherit eternal life. So I want everybody to hear this text. This is not about a man who lived a long time ago who went away from Jesus. This is a story about every single one of us in this room and our relationship with God and what it looks like for us to really come to him. And realize what it really takes to be somebody who follows Christ as a person who comes to him saying, what does it take for me to inherit eternal life? So we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at how the gospel changes everything. That's kind of the idea behind this entire series we're in, that the gospel changes everything about our life. And today we're going to see the gospel really changing two major things as how we look at our life. The first is that the gospel changes our scorecard. It changes our scorecard, our scoreboard, the way that we live in this world. The gospel changes it. See, this young man who comes to Jesus, he is living in a way that he's checking off things in his life and saying, I'm doing all these things right, therefore God is going to bless me. He is winning at life, okay? In every aspect. He's young. He's got strength. He's got his health. He's got money. So he's doing really well for himself financially. He is doing really well in his leadership. He's excelling in every way. He's also somebody who's a really good guy. So you can't even ding him for that. Like, he's also a jerk. He's not. Jesus actually asks him the question. Look at what Jesus asks him in verse 18. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good?" I want you guys to think about that phrase just a second. It says, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." He says, have you been doing these? He references the law, the Old Testament. In particular, he's referencing Exodus 20, where God gives the Ten Commandments to the people. And this young man says, no, I've been doing all these for my whole life. In fact, I've been upright in the way I've treated other people. So the phrase that we've kind of heard before, where like we say, behind every great treasure, there lies a great crime, right? This young man has not entered into any kind of like nefarious activity to become wealthy. He's actually morally upright. He's done everything right. He's performed well. And now he's coming to Jesus saying, like, what can I do to excel in the next life? He's a typical Enneagram 3. Like, he's an achiever. He's like, I can just achieve. I can just do. And here he runs up against something that he can't achieve on his own. Jesus strikes right at the heart of the issue. He says, listen, your scorecard can't save you. And as Christians, we know this. Like, we've heard the gospel. If you've been in a gospel-centered church for a while, if you've been coming here for a while, we know that we can't add anything to our salvation, and we cannot earn our salvation. We can't do enough things to get ourselves into heaven, and yet we still act like we do, don't we? We're still like, listen, God, I'm trying really hard to please you, and this young man is trying to do the same thing, but he's missing something. He's missing something. He's running up against the fact that no effort on his part will bring him the qualifications of entering into the kingdom of heaven. It has to be something completely different, and it's at an identity level. See, Jesus is offering him a new identity that's beyond the scorecard. Jesus wants him to be a follower. He wants him to move from being somebody who's been successful and who's winning to being somebody who's a follower. And that is what Jesus is inviting him to do. He says, I want you to go sell everything because I know that your identity is in this idea of being the rich young ruler, and you have to leave it behind. And you have to let it die. You have to give it away so that you can divorce yourself from the scoreboard and come and really follow me. So go do that and then come follow me, because Jesus is inviting him into a different kind of relationship and into a different kind of love relationship with God. I love what the passage of scripture points us to when it looks at the relationship between Jesus and this young man. Look with me in verse 21. I just want to point something out to you. Verse 21, how does Jesus perceive this young man? It says that he loved him. He loved him. So he's not doing this because he's like, hey, listen, here's another test that you need to pass. It's because he deeply cares for him and wants him to change his identity and to leave behind the identity of being somebody who's really worth something because of what he owns. Because this young man has moved from being somebody who owns things to those things owning him. In fact, they own him so strongly that he can't ever even leave them for knowing Christ. He can't leave his possessions because they own him. One of the things that you find here is that Jesus is speaking towards the deep idolatry of his heart. If you look with me in verse 18, you see Jesus saying, hey, you call me good. I told you guys to remember that, right? He goes on to say, hey, no one is good except for God alone. Jesus is asking him, who do you really think I am? Who am I really? Because you're saying I'm a good teacher. There's only one who's good. Am I God? And then one of the things you see that's so conspicuously absent about what Jesus says next is when he recites the Ten Commandments to this young man, what does Jesus omit? The one thing that he's lacking. The first commandment. Because he says, you have no other gods except for me. So Jesus omits the vertical relationship between us and God in this commandment, that he asks this man if he's been keeping, because he hasn't been keeping it. He's been worshiping himself and his own story. And he's been thinking that he's been pursuing God, but he's not been doing that. So Jesus, at that point, then brings his question right back to what's most important. He goes, where is your heart? I'm offering you love, but your heart is not towards me. It is towards this other identity, which is deeply found in your money. Tim Keller says this man had an idolatry towards his money. And to lose his money was to lose himself. And that's exactly the point. Jesus wants us to lose ourselves so that we can ultimately be found in him. That's what Jesus is calling us to, every single one of us. We have a scorecard that we're keeping. And we're trying really hard to win. Because we think that if we win, then we're going to be successful. So that scorecard might be in how well our family is doing or how well we're doing in our career compared to how our father or mother did or our friends did or our brothers and sisters did. We're keeping score. We're living our life constantly trying to win. And Jesus is saying, you can win all you want, but at the end of the day, you're going to be really, really empty. You're going to be really, really empty if you don't have me at the end of it. And I love you too much to let you walk down this path. And I'm going to invite you to leave it behind so you can find true treasure. Here's the beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus is not against treasure. He's not against treasure. In fact, we find in the Bible over and over again, people who have wealth and they use it for godly purposes and God doesn't condemn them for it. So you need to hear this. Like, the reason why this is such a shocking story is because most people thought that those who were wealthy were blessed by God. And Jesus is saying, listen, the blessing still doesn't get you in. And one of the things you find here in this text is that Jesus isn't against treasure, but he's calling us to a different kind of treasure, an ultimate treasure. And he's calling us to a better treasure because he has something better in store for us than we can imagine. And you can see it as you look in the text, verse 28. Peter says, listen, we've actually come and left everything to follow you, Jesus, because Peter understands what Jesus is really saying, but he's not sure that it's enough. And Jesus goes on to say this, verse 29. He says, truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more, now at this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields with persecutions, which I think that's interesting. Jesus threw that in, right? It's like all these other blessings and persecutions and eternal life in the ages to come. Jesus is like, there is something more for you when you leave it behind to follow me. And this is true. Jesus is calling every single one of us to leave everything behind to follow him. He's asking for what we treasure. He's asking for it. He said, I want it. Every single one of us has a treasure, something we treasure. And if it was taken away from us, we would doubt the existence of God. Let's be honest. I mean, maybe a couple of us, maybe most of you have reached some level of spiritual maturity where that would not happen. Hopefully the same is true of me. But if I'm really honest, there are some things that if they happen to me, I would wonder, where is God in the middle of this? God, why would you do this if you love me? Why would you take this away from me if you care for me, if you see me? And over again, I see young men and women, not even those who are that young, deal with this question, if this was taken away, is God enough? Jesus says, if you're willing to have a different kind of treasure, you're going to have more than you can imagine. He says, you'll receive 100-fold. Like, what is he speaking of when he speaks about, like, you'll receive 100-fold? Well, in some cases, those who will lose their family because of the gospel, there are those who choose Christ and their family disowns them. They receive a new and better family, one of brothers and sisters in Christ. They become family. So we've seen that happen. That happens sometimes. Sometimes people can lose their wealth, and then God provides for them in other ways. That's just even more remarkable, or they make more than they ever thought following God. That has happened. But what I believe that is the most faithful understanding of this text is what Jesus is promising is that he himself will make up all those things by giving himself to those who trust Christ. That he himself will fill up what is lacking. That when you feel the darkness and despair of the circumstances you find yourself in, Jesus says, I will be there with you in the middle of the storm. I'll be with you in the middle of the darkness. I'll be with you in the middle of the heartache. I will be there and I will myself bring you a sense of joy that nobody can explain. That is something deeper and more full if you truly lean into me and say, I'm leaving everything behind to follow you. I can think of a man who lived this out, embodied this, a man named Hudson Taylor. I don't know if you guys know Hudson Taylor's story. You should. If you want an extra project to take on this week, I would encourage you to go buy his biography. He's a saintly missionary who left England to go to China back when China was very closed and very, very far from God. And he was the very first missionary that we can kind of track in the last several hundred years to actually go. And he went to inland China to go preach the gospel. People had never heard the name of Jesus. And Hudson Taylor went at great personal cost. He buried most of his children due to poor health care in China. He suffered greatly. He was sick himself, like over and over again. And at the end of his life, he says, I regret nothing. I received everything because of Christ. What a claim. Like, how could he claim something like that? The only way he can claim something like that is because he's experienced a deep abiding relationship with Jesus, where Jesus no longer is someone that he just hears about, but he is someone who he interacts with personally. And that's what Jesus is offering. He's offering a deep, dynamic relationship with himself. And he's not just saying, hey, listen, I want you to be a religious person. He's saying, I want you to be somebody who actually knows me. I want you to be someone who treasures me. Because when you treasure me, you find something deeper and more powerful than you could ever imagine. You find yourself in a relationship with the living God of the universe, and he's your friend. And he loves you. And here you find Jesus asking this man to give up his treasure so that he can gain God. And the same is true for you and I. Jesus is asking for our treasure so that we can experience God. I think it's an important one in the context of money. That's the one that Jesus delivers this story, because money has the ability to steal our heart more than anything else, because it can replace all the things that God offers without the responsibility of having a relationship with God, right? Have you ever thought about this? Like, money is something Jesus speaks about more than anything else. He speaks about it 10 times more than he talks about any relationship or any kind of sexual sin. Jesus speaks about the love of money being something that can steal our heart away from God, because it gives us a lot of the things that God grants us. Money in and of itself isn't evil. And this definitely isn't a request for you to support our church, although supporting your local church is a great thing and it's a wonderful thing. We're not going to shy away from that. But this is not about, all right, now we're going to bring an offering, okay? This is not about that. So offering team, stay put, all right? It's not about that. But what this is about being free from being owned by it. Because money can actually give you a lot of the same things that God does. It gives you food. It gives you a place to stay. It gives you a measure of safety. It gives you a measure of control. And these are things ultimately that God alone can give. And so as you look at this young man entering into a relationship with God, being offered a relationship that he ultimately turns down, you have to ask yourself the question, like, why does Jesus have the right to ask him to sell everything that he has and then give it to the poor and then follow him? Like, why does Jesus have the right to do that? Why does Jesus have the right to say, hey, listen, I want you to give it all away and then come follow me? Why does Jesus get to say that? And why does he say that to this young man? Well, the reason is that there's actually two rich young rulers in this story. There's a young man that comes to Jesus, and then there is Jesus himself. See, Jesus is also young. He's also a ruler. He's the ruler of everything. He's also someone who's rich, more wealthy than any other being in existence. And what the Bible tells us is that Jesus, who was rich, he became poor for you and I, so that you and I could enter into a relationship with God. And God offers us that relationship, something more precious than anything else, purchased by something more precious than anything else, which is the blood of Jesus shed for you and I, so that we could actually be free from trivial things like money or power or desire to feel youthful. Jesus is offering us something better. He's offering us an eternal life, an eternal kingdom, and an eternal richness that's only found in Jesus. And he's offering that to us freely. And the invitation to us is to actually say, I'm willing to say yes to what you ask. That's it. It's willing to say yes to what Jesus is asking. And I think that is a great place for us to end today. You are the rich young ruler coming to Jesus. You are coming to him, and he is going to make an ask of you. I don't know what that ask is. It may have something to do with your financial portfolio. It might have something to do with your future. It might have something to do with where you're going to live. It might have something to do with who you're going to marry or not marry. But Jesus is going to ask that of you. And he's going to ask that of you today. He's going to ask you to follow him in a different way someday in the future. He's going to continue to ask you to follow. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's one of my favorite ways of speaking about what we're doing here as Christians. We're not just people who've accepted Jesus into our heart, but that we're actually people who just follow where he wants us to go. And the only way you do that is by asking him, like, where do you want me to go next? Where do you want me to, what do you want me to do next? How do you want me to obey you today? And that is ultimately what it means to be a follower of Jesus. To be someone who just says, Jesus, you ask it, I'm doing it. You ask it, I'm doing it. I'm following you wherever you want me to go. So as we close, I want us just to sit in that for just a moment. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I want you just to think about what Jesus is asking you. And Josh, I'm going to ask you, or Daniel, could you just like play a little bit of music for us? Whatever is cool, okay? And just give us a moment here. And this is my prayer this morning. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would speak powerfully to us today through this message and through this time together reading the Word and studying it. And this is what I feel like the Spirit's telling me right now. I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to just carve out just like a moment where you can ask Jesus, hey, what is it you're asking of me? Just a moment where you, just right where you are, just kind of have a moment with God. To be honest, your day might be so busy today that this is the only time today you're going to do this. In fact, this may be the only time this week that you're going to be still and just say, Jesus, I'm listening. And I'm coming to your feet, and I see you looking at me with love, and I'm ready to give that thing up that you're asking for. I'm willing to lay it down. So just sit there just for a minute and just listen. I know that there's many here right now who are hearing Jesus whisper in their ear something that they need to lay down. They need to let it go. They need to trust you with it. They need to turn from what they're doing. They need to lay it at your feet. And our answer to what you're asking is yes. Yes. Jesus, we love you. It's not just a song that we sing. We really love you. And I pray right now for my brothers and sisters in this room who are my family. I pray that you would bless their step of obedience that starts right now as they've said, yes, I'm going to trust you. I pray that you give them confidence to not forget it, but to walk in it today. To say, I am going to trust you with my time, with my talent, with my treasure. I found a better treasure, and that's Jesus. And I'm going to trust you and just hand it over. No holds barred, no caveats, no like, hey, I'll do that later. No, I'm going to do that next week. No, hey, wait, I got to like figure this out. But just like you just said yes, and that means yes. So Jesus, I just pray that we would follow you. That this would be the posture of our heart, that we just constantly just stop and say, Jesus, what is it you want? And then I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to follow it. And then I'm going to say, Jesus, what's next? And I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to follow you there next. That's just the way I'm going to live. I'm going to be a follower. I'm not going to be someone who's a rich young ruler. I'm going to be a follower of the real rich young ruler, Jesus. Who's poured himself out for me so that I can be his. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.